Well, let's pray for marriage, right? Let's pray for family. Let's pray for our country. I am just honored to be able to stop in the middle of my broadcast and to pray. Some of these issues I bring to you in hour one, they deal with what's happening on a global scene and here at home. They demand prayer. So to be able to give you a look at life and then to be able to follow that up with a unified prayer, with you and me together, with the two of us praying, you know, really you and me and so many other people around the world uniting in this hour of prayer. It's powerful, such a powerful hour. So grateful for. Thank you for sending me your answered prayers. Keep sending them to me, okay? As those answered prayers come in, it's drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Maybe I'll share a few more that have come in. I think I'm going to start sharing them every day because that's how many we're getting. And it just, I think it builds the faith. And you know, you need faith, right, to work those miracles. So I'll share a few of those. Before we begin, though, I'd ask you to pray for my producer, Tom's mother-in-law. He called me right before the show and said, hey, I just got word that she's in need of some prayer. Her name's Jean. She's 90 or 92 years old. Beautiful lady. I've met her, you know, before, and just she is a very elegant woman who's having some heart complications and some byproducts of that. So I won't go into any more detail, but we'll pray for her and for anyone who's having cardiac issues, anyone right now that's in real need of healing. We'll pray for our elderly as well. Maggie prays with me today, and of course, you can pray too. You can get in at 888-914-9149. You can send Maggie your prayer intentions if you don't get through on the phone lines, because they tend to stack up pretty quickly, at Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter handle, at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally, at Drew Mariani as well. I'd love to have you follow us on all of our socials. Maggie, what would you like to start off with? I mean, I know we got the intentions that are coming. Is there anything personal you want to pray? It's day two back with us.
Yeah, it is day two back. Nothing personal today. I do have an intention that's private that I'll lift up. But I did just receive an email from someone named John. And he says, very eloquently, he says, please include David DeLeiden in your prayer intentions during the Divine Mercy Chaplet this week. David bravely exposed the selling of baby body parts by Planned Parenthood over 7 years ago in his videotaped interviews with Planned Parenthood directors and was retaliated upon by none other than Kamala Harris. He's been fighting the felony lawsuits with the Thomas More Society and is currently appealing two of his convictions to the U.S. Supreme Court. This is a modern-day David and Goliath story. He says, please pray that the U.S. Supreme Court will accept his two cases to hear from among the hundreds that they have to consider. He said, also pray for the Thomas More Society, who's financially defending him. So he just says, I know that nothing is impossible for God, and I ask for divine prayers during this time.
You also... We were speaking to our last guest, right, JP DeGance?
Oh, yeah, JP also, wow. If you want to hear a great conversation about marriage and family and, you know, the decline of Christianity in our society.
Fascinating.
He was so eloquent, and they've got a study out that really illustrates these trends. He said, download the study and give it to your parish priests and your pastors. We've posted that on our social media sites. But he said, before we signed off with him, he said, hey, can you say a prayer for me? I'm speaking with Focus on the Family. And, you know, a bunch of these big groups that promote family health tonight, I think, he said. So want to lift him up.
All right, great, great. He's doing wonderful work. That is a great conversation.
Yeah.
Lift up all those intentions. I'll add my personal intention to yours, Maggie, too, because I have one, too, that I've been asking God for. And, you know, today's the last day I'll be probably doing this little petition or novena. So if you could just say a prayer for me right now and for Maggie, for our personal intentions, that would be fantastic. And this would be good, and I'd be really happy if you do that. I will take your calls, I said, here online. Let me just share with you quickly, too, just a couple of quick emails that came in, just one or two here. This is, hey, Drew, I want to share this with all the Divine Mercy prayer intercessors. A couple of weeks ago, I called in for prayer for my brother, Tim. He's the father of four kids who's been unemployed and out of work for 2 years. It's been hard. 4 days ago, he received news that he was selected for a very prestigious position at a hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. Just want to thank you and everyone who's been praying. Another person says, I pray the chaplet with you and your listeners every day while driving home from work in my car. My husband lost his job just a couple months ago, and the unemployment checks are going to stop soon. We have three very active boys. We started having anxiety, and we didn't know whether we'd survive, you know, without a paycheck. So yesterday, he got a job offer from a company he's been pursuing for several months, and he starts his new job next week. It's by grace through faith that sustained us in these difficult months, and we never gave up. And Drew, we never lost hope. That's so good, because when you have no, I always marvel at that, because when you have no money coming in and the math doesn't add up and you have no options, it's hard. Yeah, I said, we're praying the chaplet is now part of my life. I can't express enough the power of this prayer. They signed it off. Jesus, I trust in you. I spoke to a man yesterday, and keep him confidential because you might know him, who's been out of work for a couple years right now. And he said to me, he says, I sit around my table and I wonder, God, why? You know, and when are things going to change? And this is a man who's got a lot of talent and a lot of skills, but for some reason, God has sidelined him. And I don't know why. Only God does, you know, but he's in the same situation. So if you're listening, don't give up, just like this last caller, and don't lose hope. God hears your prayers, and he's got a plan. I'm convinced of that. One final one here. Wrote to you about a friend whose brain cancer had leveled off. Just want to report there's no more deterioration of the brain. I want to thank you for your faith and for sharing this hour with the world. Amen to that. Let's pray. We'll pray for jobs. We'll pray for the shrinking of cancerous tumors. We'll pray for marriage. We'll pray for the return of our loved ones to the faith, right? We'll pray for all of our personal intentions and just ask God today to be merciful to each and every one of us. And we'll begin as we do every day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Antoinette. She is listening and praying with us in North Carolina. California, Northern California. Hi, Antoinette. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Good afternoon, Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I would like to offer prayers for my rosary friend, Marilyn, who's in Utah. Her son is lost in Mexico. So we just want to offer to God prayers and miracle that he will be back home soon.
Well, let's do that. We will pray right now. I am so happy, Antoinette, that you got through. We had a prayer that came in yesterday. Remember that? I think she was a Haitian. Was it Haitian who called in? She was living in Minnesota. And there was a story of somebody who was kidnapped. And after the prayers of the chaplet, they were set free. They were returned. So we're going to pray for Mike. We're going to pray for the son of your friend who is lost in Mexico right now. Lord, I just ask you bring this man back home. And so often there's been such a special anointing with this prayer when it comes for the kidnapped, the lost, the missing. And I just ask for those graces to flow for those who are away from the faith and lost from you as well, Lord. Bring those souls home and bring those physically home as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Irma is praying in Central California. Irma, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to pray for more vocations to the priesthood.
Great. That's a beautiful prayer. Thank you for calling in. And Irma,
thank
I want
you,
to
Drew.
Pray for you too, okay? We'll lift up all your personal needs, nothing there personally, but Lord, you know your daughter, so I just bring her to you and I ask for your mercy. And what a great prayer. I pray for those discerning vocations right now, whether it's to the priesthood or religious life, Lord, whether it's to marriage or any other sacrament, that you give them clarity on that. Give them the graces they need and give them the protection from the evil one who would love to derail them from the path you're calling them to. And I do pray right now that the hearts of men open, or that you send supernatural graces to these young men that you're calling to the priesthood. They may clearly know this is you that is calling them, and that it is in this path and in this vocation that they'll find the fulfillment of their mission and true happiness. So I pray for our priests too, who've said yes, for their protection and for their ministry as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to our next call, let me go to Maggie, who is taking all of your attentions on our Twitter page. That's at Drew Mariani Show. And if you don't get through on the phone lines, that's a great way to get your petition put on the air, at least heard. Maggie, what's coming in?
Mick wrote to us today on Twitter, Drew, and said, hey, during today's Divine Mercy Chaplet, can we pray for Maureen, a caller who called into the Patrick Madrid show earlier? She has stage 4 breast cancer. He says, Jesus, I trust in you. Wow. Charlene says, please pray for the perfect tenant to rent my friend's house. Dear St. Joseph, look after us in our housing needs. Jesus, we trust in you. Chris says, hey, Drew and Maggie, I'm praying for an eventual end to my job search as I'm desperate to start soon, but I'm getting rejected left and right after interviews. I'm at my wit's end. Also, prayers for a happy and blessed marriage for Maggie. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Dominique wrote to us and said, asking for prayers for our children, teachers, and all staff in our schools of Dilley and Purcell, Texas. We've had so many threats these last weeks of school.
Wow.
Jesus, I trust in you. Also, continued prayers for the 21 Uvalde families who lost their loved ones last year.
Tough stuff, huh? Can't imagine that. Just can't imagine what they get through. Lord, we ask for your mercy, your healing, and your protection. I ask you to hear every one of those prayers. And we'll add Carlos from Chicago to the mix as well. Hi, Carlos. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. I'm going to be quick. I want to pray Thanksgiving for all the people that were able to donate during the last pledge.
Beautiful.
For families in trouble. And I would like to pray for all the kids that are graduating in this graduation season, for the parents to be supportive of whatever their next chapter of their life is going to take them,
yeah.
With the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your ministry.
Well, thank you for beautiful prayers, Carlos. I am very grateful for all those, and I want to pray for you. Lord, I ask you to bless this man and his family and his merciful heart. And we pray for those graduates, Lord. We pray for all those intentions that he's voiced. I unite with Carlos, all who are now praying with me. And I just ask, Heavenly Father, that you hear our prayers today. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to San Marcos, Texas next. Cynthia, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, my friend. I want to pray today for a couple of guys to start with, Brian and Chris. They are from the Mary House here in Austin that closed, that served the homeless community, people that were dying and came to live there for that last part of their journey. But they are leaving Austin because the house closed. There's nowhere for them to go. One has brain cancer, the other has advanced Parkinson's. And I got a message, they had a flat blowout in North Austin. So they're really having some difficulties. And I'd also like to pray for a woman named Kaylee, who's very addicted, very pregnant, and living in the woods. And that is not that uncommon here. Wow. Also, that we might one day have another mercy house for our brothers and sisters, because we don't know how to take care of them very good, to be honest with you. And we need a place where they don't have to die in the street.
I know. It's,
And the addicted parents, so many children are born with terrible and long-lasting mental difficulties because of the addiction of their parents. So we have to reach out to the addicted parents. And lastly, I'm sorry to take so long.
Like
to pray for Matthew, who is going into the diaconate program here in Austin. I'm not sure where he's going to be. Hopefully, he'll be back here. And a young man named Jack, who's a seminarian, that I met out on a hike yesterday.
All right.
So those are my intentions.
Maria,
thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Cynthia, thank you for calling. I'm curious, why did the place close? Was that finances? They couldn't afford to keep the doors open?
It was called the Catholic Worker Mary House. It's been operating for 30 years, and it was the only place, Drew. And it only housed about 8 guys, but they were all chronic or they were going to be passing away. The owner of the house, and it was under the diocese, but the lady that ran it needed medical care herself.
Yeah.
She got dementia, and there was nobody to buy it or take over. I wished I would have won the lotto.
Let's pray. We'll pray for God's providence and for perhaps a bigger and even better place that can house even more people. I'm going to call upon Mother Teresa, who took care of the sick, the dying, and Lord, you're a God of providence. There's no request that's too big for you. You're the creator of the universe. And I just pray for Cynthia and every one of those intentions that she voiced, especially for those men, those who are homeless, those who are addicted, those who are dying. Please, in your mercy, Lord, hear us as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Maria. She's in Northern Illinois. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling for prayers for my son and my daughter-in-law. They are 22 weeks pregnant. They just got back from an ultrasound, and they're having some difficulty getting the measurements they need from baby's heart. They are referring them to a specialist, and I am just praying for a good outcome, a healthy baby. I have two sons, and they are both expecting this year in September and October.
Oh, wow, congratulations.
So I'm just asking for everyone to say a prayer for this little baby, please.
That's awesome. We'll do it right now for you, Maria. We'll call upon Bishop Sheen and St. Paczynski, two saints we know were instrumental in raising children from, well, whose their intercession brought the child back to life. And we'll believe, right? We're going to believe for this baby right now, because faith is to believe what you don't see, right? And what's the reward? St. Augustine of Hippo, he said, the reward of faith is to see what you believe, right? So it's kind of an interesting thing. Faith is to believe what you do not see, but the reward of faith is to see what you believe. And Lord, I believe you hear our prayers, and I believe you can heal this child, and I believe you hear the cries of your children. And Lord, I just ask that we see the results of our faith now and our trust in you and the power of this prayer. We'll take another quick call here from Dolly, who is calling us in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dolly, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to say some prayers and thanksgiving for God for the help he gave and the left knee replacement. The left knee was so bad that after I spoke with the doctor, it turned out I should have been bedbound and in severe pain, and I wasn't either. God, I realized, was carrying me for years until I could afford the surgery, and that let me know even when I thought he was far away, he was not. And I mean, it really brought tears to my eyes. And I also want to say thank you for the prayers given to me and my sister Bobby. I pray for Bobby to be continued healing with her husband, who passed away after 43 years in last August. And in thanksgiving for all the graces and help given through the holy intercessors of heaven, such as Padre Pio and others.
Well, Dolly, thank you for your beautiful testimony. And you're right, God is always with us, even when we feel he's a long way away, right? A friend of mine, I was going through a difficult time, and I was questioning God, and he says, Drew, it's at times like that that your voice is heard the loudest, right? And the footsteps in the sand, right? That footprints in the sand, classic story. It's a time you feel you're walking alone. That's the time Christ is actually carrying you. Those are the footsteps you see in the sand. Janet in Indianapolis, Indiana, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a friend, Jill, who's burying her aunt tomorrow. And a friend, Julie, who is having a knee replacement. And Julie's, she's an older lady, and she's it's not going to be an easy surgery for her. I wanted to call in special prayers.
Well, we're going to pray for you too, Janet, okay? Everyone has attentioned your voice. Pray for those who mourn, Lord. I pray for those who have hip and knee replacement surgeries or, you know, critical surgeries coming up, and pray for their prompt recovery. Let me grab one more here as well. I'm sorry, Maggie, this is an urgent tweet. Do you want to share that very quickly?
Someone named Hong wrote to us and said, please pray for God's mercy and protection for the people in Guam as a monster typhoon is coming right now to the island. Thank you. We trust in you, Jesus.
And we'll pray that back right now. And for Fernando, there was a tweet of an 18-year-old who just died in his sleep. Lord, I give you all of these intentions. And Mariana in Riverside, California, I want you to call me back because she's got a big answered prayer. I want to get to her if I can. But I just want to pray. I want to give you those who are right now in facing tragedy, an accident, violence, natural calamity, a war. And Lord, I ask your protection over your children. And I ask for your mercy, and I ask you hear the cries of the heart of every single soul with me right now. I thank you for hearing these prayers, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for
Saint
us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for
Saint
us.
John Paul II,
pray for
Saint
us.
Saint Paczynski,
pray for us.
Venerable Bishop Sheen,
pray for
Saint
us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You know, you had that urgent request about the tsunami that's heading to Guam right now, and it made me think of a situation that was happening in the Philippines. Father Serafin shared the story with me. You know, if you, those images of divine mercy, when you trust in God's mercy, there's divine protection. He shared a story of a terrible mudslide. They had storms, and whole villages, whole areas were just encased in the collapse of these hillsides. But this one village had had a procession of the Divine Mercy image through it as that storm was approaching, was somehow divinely protected. And we see it all the time. I mean, this just, that memory just came back to me. There's so many of these stories of God's protection. God is in control of everything. Everything in your life. Do not forget that when you get anxious, when you get concerned, when you get worried, when you become overwhelmed, just rely on it. Sit back. Know God's with you. He's carrying you. He's on your side, right? He'll get you through it. Got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more. In fact, if you have a broken relationship, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's with a coworker, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend. I want to talk broken relationships right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Taking care of business every day.
He has a microphone. And he knows how to use it. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, it's good to be here with you today. Thank you for joining me. I'd love to hear from you today, too. If you are going through a difficult time, maybe you have a broken relationship. Maybe it's a lifelong friend that, you know, you no longer talk to. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a neighbor, a coworker, maybe it's a friend. How are you dealing with it? Are you praying? You know, how are you dealing with these broken relationships? I saw a stat that, you know, I found it hard to believe. I don't know. I'm a very personable guy. I consider myself, I have lots of friends. I like to stay in touch with my friends. And I was shocked when I saw a study from the University of Chicago found that 70% of people who've been in a relationship that ended up in a breakup have experienced some sort of emotional distress. 70%. The Pew study said that 60% of Americans have been in a relationship that has broken up. And of course, marriage, what they say on average, one out of two marriages end in divorce. I guess a little less of that now. I think it's in the 40s. But I think it's in the 40s because less people are marrying. But we're looking at least, you know, one out of two, you know, groups here suffering some sort of ruptured relationship. And these statistics show that broken relationships are really, they're a common experience. And it goes way back. I remember Abraham Lincoln in his first inaugural address. He said this. He says, "We're not enemies, but friends," right? We must not be enemies. He says, "Though passion may have strained, it must not break the bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, and surely they will be by the better angels of our nature." That was a time, if you go back, you think about American history, where there was a great division in our country. Today, we've got a lot of division. We're talking about the Civil War, right? A division that would eventually end in one of the bloodiest wars in our nation's history. What he was doing when Lincoln delivered that address, he was hoping to convince the Southern states, like, you don't need to secede from the North. We can work out our differences. Unfortunately, we know that didn't work. Over more than, I think, 150 years later, ever since that bloody conflict ended, our nation is still, by and large, we have healed from those broken bonds. I mean, we are one people. Some people think we'll see another civil war. I don't think we'll ever see that here. But clearly, we're divided in other areas. And I know that during the last election, there were people who were lifelong friends who broke those friendships on Facebook and others because of the person's political affiliation. It was really kind of weird. I can't understand why politics or something like that would rupture a relationship. And I want to talk about friendships and relationships today. Dr. John Cutterback's going to join me in a minute here. One other thing that I found interesting, during the 2020 presidential election, there were a lot of reports of, and maybe you've gone through this, of these friendships ending because of the candidates, especially Trump, right? As more people become secularized, friendships are ending now over fidelity to the gospel. You know, if you believe that marriage is between a man or a woman, or if you believe that, you know, the sexual act should be confined to, you know, a marital embrace, or if you hold some of these things that the church teaches, sometimes people and even family members will break those relationships with you. And as we become more digitized and social media gains the upper hand in our relationships, the electronic barrier is causing more difficulty in cultivating friendships. Some people don't even want to date you or be a friend with you, right? If you are on the other side of the aisle, or, you know, you hold a different view. I mean, whatever happened to different views and still having friendships, right? A broken friendship can be difficult to handle. You might have a lifelong friendship or a ruptured friendship. It's tough, whether it's divorce or whether it's, you know, no longer talking to a friend. It can be hard. John Cutterback is a professor of philosophy at Christendom College, and his latest book is entitled True Friendship, Where Virtue Becomes Happiness. And he also started a website. You check this out. It's called Lifecraft. And he describes it as a community project about discovering and applying some of the natural wisdom in today's, you know, challenging context with issues relating to everything from friendship and work to stewardship. So check him out, life-craft.org. Craft.org is probably an easier way to remember that. Hey, Doctor, welcome to the show. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Drew. Good. It's always good to be with you.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. I can't tell you how many people it's so many different levels, too, from divorce to politics to holding true to your Catholic principles. Do most broken friendships happen because of, you know, one argument or some malice? Is it an ideological thing? Is it neglect? You know, what is it? I mean, is it sloth? I mean, what causes this rupture?
Oh, great question. And it's certainly one of the great questions the philosophers ask about friendship. And, you know, it's tough. Obviously, there can be different causes. But even apart, I said, first from different causes, we might need to sort out two different kinds of breakups. You know, St. Alured, a great medieval author, wrote a book called Spiritual Friendship, which I love to use. He says, he even quotes fathers of the church saying this, so fasten your seatbelt. It has to be properly understood. But he says, a friendship that breaks up was never really a friendship. You have to understand that properly, but I think it's important to see that sometimes it is the case that when a kind of breakup happens, sometimes that's just the truth coming out. Like, for instance, you just gave, I think, a very important kind of example where a significant moral difference comes out about a really important aspect of life. Yeah. Well, you know, where there is that kind of difference, that is very significant. Now, you might say, well, can't we still be friends? I think we have to sort out different senses of friendship. You can be friends in some kind of sense. You could be friendly, but friendship in that deeper, richer sense, in the sense that really means, as Aristotle would say, a kind of living together, a kind of shared life that most of all goes on in the deepest principles. If it comes to light that we don't share certain principles, then to some extent a separation might be just a coming to light of the reality that we never were that close.
It's fascinating.
But, you know, I mean, that's different, yeah. I think, than from where there is a richer, deeper friendship,
right.
But maybe there's just a fight, and there's something where there's right now there's some hurt that's coming out. There's a misunderstanding, and it's not a misunderstanding that's rooted in a difference that can't be overcome. And so that's the kind of thing where you look at it and you say, hey, if we see the difference between those two kinds of separations, one that's a separation where it was the truth coming out, you know, we don't really have that good a foundation for a friendship versus, hey, a particular challenge has come along. We need to work on that now. We need to be able to figure out which one of those is, because sometimes we might just have to live in the truth of we can't be as close to this person as we thought we could. Versus, on the other hand, yeah. Hey, I need to be trying to make this up. I don't know. What do you think, Drew?
No, I think you're right on the money. I've got to take a short pause here, so stay with me. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We can talk more about that. There's so much to get into here. My guest is Dr. John Cutaback. Hillary from Miami, you're on deck. Elizabeth from Phoenix, everyone else, we get all your calls. I only have them for a short moment today. I want to get you connected to his new books. I think it's a good read, and I think you'll appreciate his website as well. It's called True Friendship, where virtue becomes happiness. You can check out life-craft.org to check them out. Taking a look at broken friendships when I return. Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society. Not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just getting plugged in, we're taking a look at how to heal broken relationships, and maybe you're angry at your ex. Is the way they treated you? Maybe you feel betrayed by a coworker. Maybe you've invested a lot into a friendship, and that friendship has been broken. I had a friend one time give me great advice. She said to me, she says, you know, God sometimes allows a friendship to come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I thought, that is so true. Some of us have these lifelong friendships, right? Sometimes somebody comes in at a really critical time. They might be there for a couple of weeks, months, year, for a season, right? Or maybe it's a reason. And maybe it's short term. You don't know. But I always love that. God will allow a friendship to come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. The data out there is robust when it comes to relationships and you know, there's a lot of reasons why they divide. How do you treat the person who has hurt you or who's ruptured the relationship if you feel you're innocent? And so often we do, right? If a relationship breaks up, it's not our fault. It's always the other person, right? And then secondly, what about fraternal correction? I think this is such an important reason why a lot of these relationships rupture, right? I mean, you might be speaking truth to somebody. And you'll hear in the culture a lot of times, stop imposing your values on me, right? Tolerance That trumps all other options, right? And what happens? Admonition is disregarded. But I do think we are our brother's keeper. I do think we have a duty to fraternally correct somebody who is wayward and has lost their way. Right? Because if we truly love, and that's what this life is all about, then we should be concerned about their immortal soul. And if that means a broken relationship, you know, I'm willing to drink from that bitter cup. You know, I often talk about mercy. And when I talk about the corporal works of mercy, one of the great spiritual works of mercy, the number one, is to admonish the sinner, right? Admonish the sinner. Do we contemplate those thoughts? And it is difficult, right? I mean, so difficult in the workplace or in our friend circle or other places to fraternally correct or admonish somebody who's really going down a pathway. Maybe it's even your own kids. Oh, I don't want to say they shouldn't be living together because, you know, they may not come over and, you know. I don't know. There's a power in speaking truth. And I'm guilty of being weak sometimes. I try to speak it every time I can. But we all face difficult situations. I'm joined today by somebody who knows this very, very well. And it's great to have him with us today. Dr. John Cutaback is a professor of philosophy at Christendom College. We'll take your calls. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. But, doctor, I want to pick up on this point because I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of relationships rupture. Sometimes, you know, you are admonishing somebody who's wayward or you're speaking truth. And we live in a culture where we're in a dictatorship of relatives or where tolerance trumps everything. I'd love your thoughts.
Yeah, because, you know, Drew, getting fraternal correction right is really at the center of friendship. It's one of the key characteristics of friendship. This is what friends know how to do. It's a kind of a way of testing, are we really friends? Are we really able to look to the good of the other, see the good of the other, and then out of true love, express that truth? I mean, that really is a distinguishing feature, but listening to the great words you were just saying, it made me remember, we have to make a distinction. It's one thing to come to a friend and confront him and say, you've hurt me. Here's something that I want to tell you that's been very hard for me. That's not the same thing as fraternal correction, and we need to separate that. Fraternal correction is when you're coming to not say how you've been hurt, but to share, hey, because I love you, I want to share with you that here's something I'm seeing that I think the way you're not being yourself. But if you mix the two and you get in the hurt in it, check out this line from St. Alaric, quote, his friend should not only see but feel that the correction comes not out of rancor, but out of love. How often in our fraternal correction are we more taking the opportunity to express our hurt or anger?
Yep.
So it doesn't come across as really a loving correction,
yep,
but as a getting angry and thus a kind of attack.
That's so true.
So we have to learn to look in our own hearts and sort that out. Am I really at this point sharing a truth for the good of the other person? There's the heart of friendly fraternal correction.
No kidding. Great point. Well, let's grab a few calls. Time runs by so quickly here. Uh-huh. Hillary's in Miami, Florida. And Hillary, I appreciate your call and your patience. Good afternoon.
Hi, gentlemen. This is about my marriage. My husband and I have been separated for 6 months now, and it's kind of a part of a 12-month process with, you know, some legal pieces that had to step in to get me out of a situation, but it was really hard to see my husband kind of spiral down. Sin started to take root in his life and got worse and worse. Things just kind of compounded, and the more I tried to weather through or help out and persevere, the worse it got. We weren't really ever able to get down to the root cause and start fixing anything. And then it just got kind of irrecoverable, and people had to come in and help and get us out. And it's scary to think of what you were saying before, doctor, to think, oh, well, you know, maybe there's elements way down at the bottom of that pile that weren't able to be reconciled and were at fault from the get-go. You hate to be scared of that in your marriage, to think that it wasn't destined to succeed and that you'd have to break it down and just kind of walk away and abandon it. But it's been hard to see failures and not control them. And then I've kind of just approached it. I used, when I was going through the worst of times and suffering through his actions, I relied on Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then recently I've kind of burrowed into a consecration to Mary just because of the level of helplessness I'm in. And that's how I've coped so far. But there's a long road ahead, and there's a lot of unknowns.
Sure, sure. Well, praise the Lord for your graced approach there and God's loving, kind, gentle providence, even though it doesn't feel that way always, is always behind this. And it's always about the truth, and we don't have to be afraid of the truth. Sometimes it's painful, but it's always better to know it. And if it turns out that the wisdom of the church is gonna have the insight that there wasn't a marriage here, then that truth needs to come out. If it comes out that there was a marriage, but that you just at this point can't continue spending time together, that's going to be a very difficult truth. But then you know what you've got, and the Lord is going to be with you in His mercy. So thank God we have the church to help us kind of sort that out and find out which path we follow here. Is it ultimately a total rupture, which it could be, or in the form of an annulment, or is it a different thing where you're going to continue recognize you're going to continue being married, and by the grace of God you're going to bear that suffering for His glory.
Well, thank you very much, Hillary, for your call. I'm grateful for it. Dr. Maggie and I were talking too, and I only have a few moments here, but Maggie was sharing with me. Maggie, why don't you share it, and I'll follow up, because whether it's not just politics, it could be religion as well. Maggie had an experience with a friend, and they kind of grew apart because of a different, ideology or belief system.
Well, it's so funny that this is on the rundown today for our show. I didn't know that we were doing this topic, but I've been thinking about this friend. She's been popping up in my head over the last couple of days. And every time she pops up, I kind of say a little prayer for her. She has been through a lot in her life. She had a really hard life, but she has a really great faith in Jesus. She is non-denominational. She was a Protestant friend of mine down south. And we shared our faith and life together for years. We did Bible studies together. And then the deeper that I got in my Catholic faith, the more that caused problems in our relationship. And there were numbers of times when we got into arguments about stuff that, because I was defending the Eucharist or priests, and she did not like that. I remember one time her even saying to me, well, so if you think, Jesus is really in the Eucharist, and you think that you're better than me because you think that's the only right way to worship God is to consume, this mm-hmm. Eucharist. And I was like, yeah. It's not that I think that I'm better than you. So that was like the crux of this argument that just kept coming up over and over.
That's gotta be hard though, because religion can separate us, politics can separate us. Sexuality, there's a lot of things. Doctor, is it possible to maintain certain relationships? I mean, not every relationship, I think, can stay together if politically or spiritually. I mean, if your ideologies are so vastly different. That
right.
makes sense?
Right.
I mean, or can you? I don't know. I mean, I think religion is a bigger divider than it would even be political. I have friends who are on the opposite end of my spectrum, so that doesn't really drive me apart.
Right.
But, there are certain things that, you just... marriage is one of those things. Some people, they won't date somebody unless they have, the same political ideology. Now, faith,
right.
I can kind of understand. That's a pretty big hurdle. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm with you, life sharing. Friendship is always about life sharing. Life consists more in some things than does in others. Faith is at the center of it, especially when we recognize that, right? And so it's a classic situation. People are finding, oh my goodness, I've deepened in the faith, this other person hasn't, and so it's drawing us apart. We have to live in that truth. And the more deep things we share, the deeper a friendship we can have. But so there's a truth, but at the same time, we can have a kind of friendship in sharing these other things. So I do not want to suggest, it's like, okay, nope, unless you share the deepest things, then you don't have anything here. No, we have what we have, and we don't have what we don't have. And part of the art of living is to sort that out and to recognize, I share these things with these people, and that's real. And I respect that, and we have a respect for one another in that, but that does somewhat limit how deep we can go. And friendship does tend to want to go deeper. And so Maggie there might be finding this is not the person where you're going to be able to have the deepest kind of friendship, because your love for the Eucharist is something that's pulling you apart rather than driving you together. Doesn't mean you're saying, okay, well, goodbye. You don't believe in the Eucharist. I don't care about you anymore.
Right.
But you're living in the truth of the fact that the Eucharist is central to your life, and that limits the life sharing you can do.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen to that. Well, Doctor, I have less than a minute to go, so I just want to thank you for being here. No other people want to talk to you. If you want to read the doctor's book, let me give it to you. It's called True Friendship, Where Virtue Becomes Happiness. His website is life-craft.com. It's life-craft.org, I should say. Life-craft.org is the website. Thank you for being here. I'm grateful for all that you do and for making time for us today.
Drew, I always love being with you. Thanks so much.
God bless you all. All right, your news and headlines are straight ahead. I want to talk about the L.A. Dodgers. I don't know if you heard that story or not. They flip-flopped. But before I do, I'll leave you with one other quote that I came across, probably about 6 months ago. And it always struck me when it came to friendship. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, go often to the house of your friend, for weeds choke the unused path. And I love that. It's, you know, if you don't make time for your friends, if you don't work on those relationships, weeds will certainly choke that unused path.